We resume on the battlefield behind the Pokemon Center as Lucian prepares for his match with Ash. Gary is also with him, having agreed to serve as referee, though Ash himself has yet to appear, having ducked back over to the phone bank to call Professor Oak and swap out one of his Pokemon. A few minutes later, the Onyx Head Boy comes bursting through the doors, a smile on his face as he informs Lucian and Gary that he's ready to begin when they are, with Lucian nodding that he is ready now, while Gary lays out the rules. This will be a 3-on-3 battle in which substitutions are allowed on both sides, and which will not be over until all of one trainer's Pokemon are unable to battle. Nodding their understanding, Ash and Lucian then head to either end of the battlefield, with Lucian as the challenger revealing his first Pokemon to be Girafarig, while Ash goes with his old reliable in Pikachu. Hoping to make quick work of Girafarig thanks to his partner's immense strength, Ash attempts to seize the first move with Thunderbolt, though being a skilled and experienced battler, Lucian is able to rattle off his command just as quickly, ordering a light screen which flashes right in front of Girafarig, taking the brunt of the Thunderbolt and allowing it to stay standing. Though he is a little bit thrown by this style of battling, Ash nonetheless feels confident that if he just keeps pushing, Girafarig will fall. Though to his dismay, he isn't given much of a chance to test this hypothesis, as at that exact moment, Lucian recalls the long-neck Pokemon, replacing it with his Bronzong. Pulling out his Pokédex, Ash is informed that Bronzong is a steel psychic type, and from the look of it, a sturdy one at that. All the same, Ash sees no reason that his plan to defeat Girafarig cannot be applied to Bronzong, with him calling for a second Thunderbolt. However, to his shock and horror, when the bolt of electricity flies at Bronzong, it is intercepted by Light Screen, which flashes into view once again and largely defuses the attack. Exuding a sense of cool confidence, Lucian informs his young opponent that Light Screen carries over between Pokemon, and that it is just the beginning of his strategy, since when battling high-level opponents, it is important to use every tool at one's disposal, and that includes being tricky. At these words, Bronzong's red eyes glow brightly, as a spectral cube suddenly forms around the battlefield, with Ash demanding to know what just happened. Grinning slyly, Lucian explains that this move is called Trick Room, and that in the Trick Room, fast is slow and slow is fast, meaning he's afraid poor Pikachu is about to have a very bad time. He then calls for an earthquake, and at once, Bronzong springs into action, moving at such speeds that it appears slightly blurred, dropping to the ground with a loud clang which causes a large crack to ripple through the battlefield towards Pikachu. Urgently, Ash cries for Pikachu to run, though when the electric rodent tries, his movements are slow, as if he is moving through molasses, while this crack is only picking up speed, until finally it catches Pikachu and sends him flying. Even his crash is in slow motion, though having an idea how to combat this, Ash calls for Quick Attack. Jumping to his feet, Pikachu once more begins to run, though with this speed boost he is able to move at something resembling a normal speed, though in comparison to his regular Quick Attack, this is still remarkably sluggish. Unfortunately, even Quick Attack cannot give Pikachu the speed he needs to outpace Bronzong, with the Bronze Bell Pokemon moving as though it is being fast-forwarded, dodging the Quick Attack and retaliating with a second Earthquake. Just like last time, Pikachu cannot escape, landing flat on his belly this time, and while Ash is naturally concerned for his buddy, his mind is already in high gear, trying to think of a way to make a comeback. One thing he had noticed is that Light Screen did not activate during this later salvo, which he quickly is able to figure out can only mean two things, either it has faded, or physical attacks do not trigger it. Wanting to test this, Ash calls for another Thunderbolt, which Pikachu slowly unleashes, though as the boy had feared, just before it can strike Bronzong, the screen manifests once again, halving the damage the Steel Psychic type takes from the assault. Now with his hunch confirmed, Ash prepares to tell Pikachu they'll be sticking to Quick Attack from now on, as their one and only physical move, though before he can get the words out, Bronzong uses its enhanced speed to let loose one last Earthquake, which strikes Pikachu head-on and takes him out of the fight, giving the advantage to Lucian. At this moment, the Trick Room fades, giving Ash one less thing to worry about. Though knowing he needs to up his game if he's going to stand a chance in this battle, he next calls forth his Larvitar, and commands it to use Screech the moment it takes to the field. Doing as it is told, Larvitar opens the match with an ear-piercing shriek, much to its opponent's displeasure, though this is hardly the end of its onslaught, as on Ash's call, it lunges forward, using its superior speed to close the distance and bite down on Bronzong. Due to this move being super effective, it is able to cut through the thickness of the Bronzebell Pokemon's steely hide for the most part, though it is clear that Ash and Larvitar have a long way to go before they can best Bronzong. Luckily, Ash has a plan, calling for a bevy of screeches which slowly wear down at Bronzong's defense, so that each time Larvitar lands a bite, it is more effective than the last. Unfortunately, this strategy is not without cost, as more than once, Bronzong is able to land a super effective Gyro Ball on Larvitar, which thanks to its slow speed is devastating. However, due to its unbreakable spirit, Larvitar is able to hold on, being the last one standing as it finally takes Bronzong out, though truthfully, both it and Ash have their doubts that it will be able to withstand another battle like this. For his second Pokemon, Lucian decides to return Girafarig to the field, though having clocked Larvitar as a physical attacker, he does not bother having it put up light screen again. Instead, he reveals another piece of his battling philosophy, stating that a clever trainer must be able to use the surroundings and terrain to their advantage. Case in point, when used in an urban environment, the move's secret power will potentially paralyze its target, something that is generally rather hard to do to the part ground-type Larvitar. Taking this as an order to do so, Girafarig then unleashes a secret power of its own, with pink waves of energy bursting forth and striking Larvitar, who grits its teeth and waits for the pain to pass. As the cerebral member of the Elite Four had hoped, this does manage to inflict paralysis on Larvitar, freeing up Girafarig to let loose a series of Psybeams, which the rock-skinned Pokemon is helpless to avoid. Desperately, Ash tells his friend to push through the attacks if it can't dodge them, with Larvitar valiantly doing its best to put one foot in front of the other as spasmodic tremors shake its small body and a reddish aura glows around it, seemingly a manifestation of Larvitar's will. Impressed by the duo's spirit, Lucian sounds almost apologetic as he tells Girafarig to keep going, with beam after beam of sonic energy striking Larvitar head-on while it slowly but surely makes its way towards the long-neck Pokemon. Then, when it is within striking distance, Larvitar bites, its jaw clamping shut around one of Girafarig's legs. Letting out a pained squeal, Girafarig tries to kick Larvitar away, but this is to no avail, with the little rock ground type using the kick to leap into the air and bite down instead on its opponent's snout. Just these two hits seem to have done almost all the damage Girafarig can take, and while this could be explained away by its weakness to Dark-type moves, both Ash and Lucian can tell that something more is afoot. In fact, Lucian knows exactly what it is, stating that Larvitar must have the ability Guts, which is made all the more fierce thanks to its paralysis. Excitedly, Ash calls this great, with Lucian looking slightly surprised that the boy does not even know his own Pokemon's ability, though all the same, he instructs Girafarig to use a point-blank Psybeam, which Larvitar unfortunately cannot avoid due to a paralysis flare-up. Landing hard, the rock-skinned Pokemon struggles to stand, and seeing this, Lucian instructs Girafarig to end things with their secret weapon, a move taught to them by Cynthia herself. At once, Girafarig charges forward, a purple bullet-shaped aura taking form around it, while from the tip bands of orange energy begin to spin, telling Ash one thing, that Larvitar most certainly doesn't want to be hit by that attack. Knowing that paralysis will slow the little green mon down too much to flee, Ash sees only one response, and from the look on Larvitar's face, it is having the same thought. To this end, the boy calls for one last bite, and as the Guts aura blazes around it once more, it dives headlong into its opponent's charge, with a resultant impact causing an explosion that blankets the field. For a moment, neither trainer can see what has become of their Pokemon. Then, as the smoke clears, Gary declares them both unable to battle, bringing the match down to a final 1v1. Wanting to keep things fair, Ash and Lucian reveal their Pokemon at the same time, with Lucian choosing his Glade, while Ash brings forth the Pokemon he got back from Oak, Noctowl. Having seen from the video earlier that Lucian is a psychic specialist, he decided to use his own Pokemon with psychic abilities, even if it lacks the psychic typing. Emerging in a shower of sparkles, Lucian comments favorably on the shiny's appearance, though Ash grins the Elite Four member hasn't seen anything yet, telling Noctowl to open with a sky attack. At once, the owl Pokemon takes off into the sky, already bathing itself in harsh light, so that when it dives a moment later, it cuts an intimidating silhouette. Nonetheless, Lucian is not cowed, having Glade meet the attack with Psycho Cut, resulting in one of Glade's glowing arm blades clashing against Noctowl's beak. A moment later, the pair of Pokemon break apart, appearing for the most part to have ended this bout in a stalemate, though knowing his old friend well, Ash can tell that Noctowl came out the worse for wear. However, neither Ash nor Noctowl have any intentions of letting this keep them down, with Noctowl next trying hypnosis to put Glade to sleep and make it an easy target. Unfortunately, Lucian and Glade have a solution, with the Blade Pokemon ramming its blade arm into its own side at the moment of impact with a psychic pulse, thus giving it just the shot of adrenaline it needs to stay awake, and even close the distance between itself and Noctowl, striking it with a second Psycho Cut. Squawking in pain and indignation, Noctowl attempts another passed sky attack, even managing to wing Glade this time, though even this comes at a cost, as the psychic fighter retaliates a moment later with a close combat poison jab combo that sees Noctowl be pummeled with dozens of poison-laced blows in a matter of seconds. As one would expect, eventually one of these blows does manage to inject some poison into Noctowl, putting in a short time limit, though if anything, this just further motivates Ash, who tells Noctowl to show Lucian and Glade that they're not the only ones who can combine moves. Trilling its understanding, Noctowl then uses confusion to immobilize the Blade Pokemon, before lifting it high into the air, just as it too takes off for its third sky attack. Thanks to being frozen, there is nothing Glade can do, taking the super effective blow head-on, before crashing back to the ground. Seeing a chance for victory, Ash then tells Knockdown to keep Gallade pinned down with its mind and finish things with a final sky attack. But unfortunately, as Ash and Knockdown will soon learn, Lucien and Gallade are not as helpless as they may think. To this end, Sinnoh's psychic specialist waits until just before Knockdown is about to land its finisher to order his Pokémon to use its own psychic attack to break the bird's hold. Then, to make matters worse, he tells it to use close combat at point-blank range, something Gallade is more than capable of now that it is free. Due to having waited, it is far too late for Knockdown to pull up, and so Ash is forced to watch as his Johtonian flower is beaten within an inch of its life by long green blades. When this onslaught finally ends, Knockdown is miraculously still conscious, while Gallade, on the other hand, is beginning to look rather frail, having slashed its own defensive capabilities multiple times in exchange for the power of close combat. Briefly, Ash has something like a premonition, seeing himself and his team standing triumphant over a member of the Elite Four, and knowing that one good hit is all it will take to make it come true. Letting this thought put a smile on his face, Ash then orders Knockdown to close in and use Sky Attack again, though as the Owl Pokémon takes the air, something happens which Ash had all but forgotten about. Poison activates, causing Knockdown to tense up. Then, to Ash's dismay, the shiny avian begins losing height as it collapses onto the ground in a heap, this final bit of damage having pushed it over the edge. And just like that, the battle is over, with Lucien being declared the winner, though to his credit, the psychic specialist is magnanimous in victory, shaking Ash's hand and calling him an exceptional young trainer. Smiling in spite of his loss, Ash thanks the man, adding that he'd like to battle him again someday, to which Lucien replies that in that case, he had best win the upcoming Lily of the Valley Conference, since he'll be waiting for him in the Champion League. He then bids Ash and Gary farewell, saying that after such an exhilarating battle, he feels compelled to get back to his training, so that when the day comes for their rematch, he is ready. Not long after this, Ash and Gary also get back on the road, with the Oak Boy praising Ash for his battle and commenting how far he's come since their match at the Silver Conference. However, knowing the danger of an overinflated ego, Gary is also sure to provide some helpful critique, namely how all it took was a simple light screen to effectively neutralize Pikachu, something Ash should focus on finding a way around, as he can't afford to lose his strongest Pokémon so easily like he did against Lucien. Nodding in agreement, Ash replies that this is something he's been thinking about since he was back in Hoenn, as he recognized the need to diversify Pikachu's move pool, he just isn't sure how best to do it. Exhaling deeply, Gary admits that is quite a puzzler, though he promises to give it some thought, as well as consult with Professor Rowan next time he is able, since he's sure that together, they'll be able to find just the move for Pikachu to really round out his battling. Following this, the next few days pass in relative peace, with Ash and Gary soon arriving in Eterna City. Unfortunately, here the boys are forced to part ways for a time, as the young Oak explains that for the safety of the shield on, they're going to hang out around the outskirts and keep their eyes peeled for Hunter J, or any other ne'er-do-wells who might want to steal the fossil Pokémon. Perfectly understanding the need to prioritize the well-being of Pokémon, Ash promises to rendezvous with Gary as soon as he's finished his gym battle, with the brunette wishing him luck as they split up. Having been inspired by Gary and his growing closeness with the shield on, Ash decides to make a quick detour to the Pokémon Center, where he swaps Meganium out for his own fossil Pokémon in Armaldo, eager to battle with this old friend again. However, this is not the only reason behind this decision, as due to both it and the shield on being prehistoric, he is hopeful they'll be able to become friends, with Armaldo helping the little rock steel types get acclimated to the modern world. As it turns out, Ash is not the only one with high hopes for Armaldo, as while he is on the phone with Professor Oak, he hears a squeal of delight from behind him. Turning to face the source of the noise, he sees a woman with bright orange hair who appears to be in paroxysms of excitement, standing beside the all-too-familiar face of Nando. When the bard sees Ash, he smiles, greeting him warmly, and once again thanking him for putting him on the path of the gyms, since he and his Pokémon have grown so much by battling. Happy to have another rival, Ash tells Nando not to sweat it, stating that sometime soon the two of them should have a rematch, though he's afraid he'll have to wait, as after hearing the bard mention the gyms, he's raring to challenge this city's one. This is where the woman comes in, introducing herself as Gardenia, the Eterna City gym leader, before explaining that she and Nando just had a battle, which is why they're here getting their Pokémon looked after, though if he's also taking the gym challenge, she'd be happy to face him with her special team, especially if he'd be willing to use that Armaldo of his. Curiously, Ash asks why she wants to battle Armaldo, stating that he thought Rourke was the fossil fanatic. Though grinning widely, Gardenia retorts that she and Rourke are good buddies, with him having even given her one of her very favorite Pokémon, which coincidentally is the Pokémon she wants to battle Armaldo with. Interest definitely piqued, Ash agrees to her terms, asking how many Pokémon he'll need, with Gardenia raising three fingers as she gleefully prances off to prepare. Half an hour later, Ash finds himself inside the Eterna Gym, which has taken the form of a vast forest inside a building. As promised, Gardenia is waiting for him, and having no need for preamble, the two trans get down to business, with Ash calling forth Armaldo, while Gardenia responds by choosing her Cradley. As the gym leader, Gardenia takes the first move, calling for an ingrain, with Cradley squealing its name happily as roots begin to emerge from the base of its body, burrowing their way into the battlefield, and pulsating slowly in a non-threatening manner. In contrast, Ash decides to be aggressive with his first move, telling Armaldo to strike Cradley with Fury Cutter, an act the plate Pokemon is all too happy to perform, lumbering up to the grass rock type and slashing at its long neck with one of its claws. This too elicits a squeal from Cradley, though this time one of pain, as its head flails back and forth, even while its base remains stationary. Nonetheless, Gardenia encourages her friend to calm down, calling for it to retaliate with Leech Seed, causing Cradley to stop its flailing and immediately spit out a seed which lodges between the plates on Armaldo's neck and back, before sprouting as the vines wrap around the bug rock type's torso. Having used this move many times, Ash knows just what is going to happen, and is therefore not at all surprised when the vines begin sapping Armaldo's strength. Unfortunately, what does come as a surprise is the speed with which Gardenia has her Cradley capitalize on Armaldo's moment of vulnerability, telling it to use Giga Drain to further speed up its opponent's downfall. This brutal onslaught is almost enough to bring Armaldo to its knees, and so wanting to protect his pal, Ash has Armaldo fall back and try Ancient Power, with it summoning a series of fossils which it hurls at the Barnacle Pokemon. Despite the danger this poses, Cradley makes no attempt to avoid the attack, taking the damage and looking pretty banged up, though to Ash's shock, a moment later, it looks almost as good as new, like the battering Armaldo gave it never happened. Then, to make matters worse, the Leech Seed activates once again, with this being enough to completely heal Cradley, while Armaldo now looks like the one who took a barrage of rocks to the face. At once, Ash understands Gardenia's strategy. She isn't battling to win, but rather not to lose, having built up an ironclad defense which will slowly but surely chip away at Armaldo's vitality while constantly restoring Cradley's health, ensuring it remains strong enough to outlast whatever is thrown at it. Ash has to admit it's a pretty ingenious strategy. Though refusing to lose faith, he decides to put Cradley to the test and see just how much it can withstand, ordering Armaldo to rush in and use a double Fury Cutter. Noting its understanding, the plate Pokemon then barrels into its foe, slashing it twice with glowing talons, though to it and its trainer's dismay, this heals too, as do the next set of injuries, and the ones after, with Cradley healing as fast as it is hurt. In contrast, Armaldo is beginning to flag badly, with Ash recognizing that unless he wraps this up quickly, things will not go his way. Thankfully, he has an idea, having surmised that while Leech Seed is bolstering Cradily, the true source of its healing comes from the roots it has laid down, meaning if he wants to take it out, he needs to destroy them first. Adopting a serious expression, Ash then tells Armaldo to combine Dig with Fury Cutter, a clever choice, as while Armaldo is ungainly on land, the same cannot be said for when it tunnels, as it is able to traverse the underground with the same speed and fluidity it has while swimming. Not only that, but because it will be slashing at multiple root targets, Fury Cutter's ability to grow stronger with each successive hit will keep activating, making the bug type move all the stronger in preparation for the final push. Unfortunately for Gardenia, she has no way to counter this, as all of Cradily's moves are in some way defensive, with the most it can do being to use Ingrain again where it feels itself losing roots. However, this just gives Armaldo more chances to compound Fury Cutter's power, with it growing faster and stronger, until it is tearing through whole root bunches faster than Cradily can create them. Then, when it has dispatched the last set, and it seems like Cradily can't make any more, Ash has Armaldo go on the attack, bursting back into view right in front of Cradley and uppercutting in what can only be assumed as its chin, with a super effective move that has been boosted in power many times over. This at last moves the Barnacle Pokemon, flinging it high into the air thanks to having no more roots to hold it down. Then, when it crashes to the ground a moment later, it comes as no surprise to see that it is unconscious. Smiling sadly, Gardenia thanks Cradley for its effort as she returns it to its ball, while Ash does likewise to Armaldo, figuring it could do with a rest after all the damage it took from the gym leader's stall strategy. As a result, it is a pair of fresh Pokemon who are sent out next, with Gardenia choosing her Roserade, while Ash goes with Beniri, wanting to give her a bit more battle experience so she can tap into the pool of latent power he sees within her. Like last time, Gardenia goes first, her hasty nature even outstripping Ash's, though in stark contrast to the previous match, she chooses to go straight on the attack, having Roserade open with a flash to blind Beniri, before using its superior speed to close the distance and strike her with a point-blank sludge bomb to the face. While this does not succeed in poisoning the rabbit Pokemon, it does ensure she will remain blinded long after the flash wears off, leaving her helpless to prevent the volley of kicks and bouquet slaps that follow, while she tries frantically to rub gunk out of her eyes with her paws and ears. Briefly, Ash begins to panic until he sees what the normal type is doing, at which point he gets an idea. Calling out in a reassuring tone to try and calm Buniri down as well, Ash tells her to stop trying to get rid of the sludge bomb for a second, and instead focus on listening out for Rose Raid. Thanks to her large ears and sensitive hearing, Buniri is able to do so with relative ease now that her attention isn't split, with Ash taking a page from Lucien's book and waiting until Rose Raid comes in for another attack to give his next command, Dizzy Punch. Coiling one of her ears up like a spring, Buniri prepares to go on the offensive. Then, as Rose Raid enters striking distance, she moves, cold clocking the bouquet Pokemon in the jaw and sending it crashing to the ground. While this one hit is not enough to take out Rose Raid, it does come with an added benefit, that being the confusion which clouds the grass type's eyes as it stumbles back to its feet. Desperately, Gardenia tells her partner to finish the rabbit off since it's still blind, but instead, Rose Raid begins smacking its own head with its bouquet hands, a clear sign that the confusion is well and truly set in. This at last gives Buniri a chance to clean her face now that she is no longer under siege, with the little normal type quickly regaining her sight and using it to launch a point-blank ice beam onto Rose Raid that blasts it back and freezes it to the wall. For a moment, it seems though the sharp shell might have snapped Rose Raid from its stupor, as on Gardenia's command, it begins charging a Shadow Ball to destroy the icy coating, though before it can launch the attack, the confusion kicks back in, with it slamming its own forehead onto the ice and causing the Shadow Ball to quite literally blow up in its face. Feeling sorry for Rose Raid now, Ash decides to finish things up, and so tells Buniri to end things with another Dizzy Punch, in order the rabbit Pokemon has no issue obeying as she bounces up and delivers one last Lights Out Punch, putting things 2-0 in Ash's favour. For our last Pokemon, Gardenia chooses a large Venusaur, who rumbles sleepily, evidently not having gotten a chance to battle for a while. Despite its size, Ash isn't worried, knowing this evolutionary line well, and figuring a couple of good Ice Beams should send the seed Pokemon back into hibernation and win him his next badge. To this end, he tells Buniri to use the move at once, with crackling blue Arctic energy shooting forth and striking Venusaur head-on. Though, when the assault ceases, the flowery reptile seems unfazed, blinking sleepily once again, and looking back to Gardenia, as if asking whether it was meant to feel that. Giggling excitedly, Gardenia reveals that Venusaur is one of her oldest and strongest friends, before asking it to give Ash and Buniri a taste of what she means. Rumbling its understanding, Venusaur then manifests a ball of multi-hued green energy in its mouth, which it launches at Buniri, catching her before she can even move and sending her spiraling into the air. However, it seems that her flight path is not the only thing to bear that shape, as when she lands at Ash's feet a moment later, her eyes are also spirals, giving Gardenia her first win. Figuring it's probably had a rest by now, Ash next calls back in Armaldo, with the plate Pokemon looking eager to continue. Wanting to keep his friend safe from that energy ball, Ash tells it to go straight into a dig, with Armaldo quickly vanishing underground, with plans to pop back up and take Venusaur out just like it did Cradley. However, unlike Cradley, Venusaur has a counter, with Gardenia calling for Earth Power. All it takes is a single stomp from one of Venusaur's front legs to send cracks rippling through the battlefield, with large rocky spires bursting out of the ground all over the place. Urgently, Ash tells Armaldo to dodge these, not wanting a repeat of Pikachu and Bronzong, though it seems it is already too late, as a moment later, the largest spire of all emerges, with Armaldo's belly caught right on the tip. Crying out Armaldo's name, Ash pours all the encouragement he can into his voice, but sadly, this is not enough to save the rock bug, as it is slammed into the roof before tumbling back to Earth. Unconscious. Grinning, Gardenia asks how Ash likes her old friend, though instead of bitterness, Ash matches her smile, replying that it's incredible, before adding that he hopes she enjoys battling his next Pokemon just as much, since like Venusaur, it's one of his very oldest and most trusted pals. He then hurls his ball onto the ruined battlefield, with Bulbasaur bursting forth, an eager look on his face. For her part, Gardenia can barely contain herself, calling the little grass star too cute and absent-mindedly rushing onto the field to hug him, until Venusaur grabs her around the waist with its vines and deposits her back in her trainer box. Chuckling self-consciously at this brief lapse in professionalism, Gardenia begins the battle in earnest now, apologizing that just because Bulbasaur's cute doesn't mean she's gonna hold back against him. She then orders an energy ball, with the orb flying at Bulbasaur just like it did Buniri, though in contrast to that clash, Ash is ready, having Bulbasaur use Razor Leaf to slice the ball in half, causing it to detonate long before it can reach him. From her side of the field, Gardenia nods approvingly, commenting in an impressed voice that's cute and strong, talk about a winning combination. However, her Venusaur is both those things too, so it's about time they put their grass types to the test and see who is really the best. She then calls for a power whip, with Venusaur extending a pair of thick vines from under its flower, while Ash responds in kind, having Bulbasaur use vine whip. As one, the two sets of vines lash out at each other like serpents, coiling around one another and creating a pair of sturdy-looking ropes that bind the grass types together. In that moment, it is plain to see that neither member of the Saw family intends to relent, with Venusaur finally having shaken off its sleepy demeanor to stare determinedly into the eyes of its pre-evolution. And so, a game of tug-of-war begins, though unfortunately, it is rather short-lived, as for all his spunk, Bulbasaur simply cannot compete in the same weight class as something that weighs roughly 15 times as much as he does. As a result, the smaller seed Pokémon is flung into the air and flipped over, so that when he lands with a painful crunch, it is on his bulb. Eagerly, Gardenia cheers to Venusaur that they won, though it seems this pronouncement may be premature, as with a growl, Bulbasaur shakily makes his way back onto his feet, barking a challenge at Venusaur, which the final stage starter is happy to answer. Pleased to see fire in her old friend's eyes, Gardenia decides to initiate the endgame, calling for Sunny Day, while informing Ash that she and her friend have a secret weapon. However, still with that big grin plastered on his face, Ash replies that he's pretty sure they have the same one, as he tells Bulbasaur to use Solar Beam. Grunting in the affirmative, Bulbasaur lets loose a torrent of solar energy, needing no prep time thanks to the harsh sunlight, while Venusaur does the same a moment later, with the two beams meeting in the middle of the field. Like their last clash, this begins as a stalemate, with both Pokémon refusing to give up, as behind them, their trainers cheer them on fanatically. However, unlike last time, there is no moment of decisive advantage, as Bulbasaur and Venusaur each slowly gain and lose ground. All the while, the beams continue to grow as they feed off the sunlight. Soon, the very floor begins to shake, with the two Pokémon slowly being sent skidding backwards by the force of their blasts. This certainly appears to be worse news for Bulbasaur than Venusaur, as the larger starter has its bulk to anchor it, making it slide towards the wall far slower. Though in a tribute to Bulbasaur's indomitable will, he digs in his heels, halting his retreat and allowing him to make one last colossal push, containing all his remaining energy. At once, the tide turns, as Bulbasaur's solar beam expands in size and begins making significant headway towards Venusaur. Even still, it is not instantaneous, with each inch being hard won as the final stage starter attempts to push it back again. But alas, it seems that Venusaur has reached its power ceiling, and so as the two clashing beams consume it, it lets out a rumble of pride for its little rival. In the aftermath of this, Venusaur is promptly declared unable to battle, with Bulbasaur leaping into Ash's arms for a hug, while Gardenia walks over to present him with the Forest Badge. As she does, she has nothing but praise for Bulbasaur, calling him an incredible battler, and even suggesting to Ash that if he wants, she could look after the grass starter for a while, allowing him to train with Venusaur every day. Smiling warmly, Ash thanks her for the offer but declines, explaining that Bulbasaur is the leader of his Pokémon back at the lab, and they've already been without him for long enough, so he really ought to be sending him home. Snapping her fingers in disappointment, Gardenia chuckles that it was worth a try, but all the same, she wishes him and his Pokémon well as they part ways. Heading back to the Pokémon Center, Ash returns Bulbasaur to the lab as promised, much to Oak's relief, though when asked which Pokémon he wishes to take the Grass-type slot, he decides to leave it vacant for now, as he's sure he's going to make more Sinnoh friends really soon. Nodding, Oak calls this wise, wishing Ash good luck and urging him to give Gary his best, something the boy promises to do as he departs to make his rendezvous with the younger Oak. In keeping with the plan, Gary is waiting right where Ash left him, with the brunette asking his companion and former rival how his battle went. Flashing a grin along with his new badge, Ash replies that he thinks it went pretty well, earning him a thumbs up from Gary as they get back on the road. Their next destination? Parts unknown. And that's where we'll leave things. What lessons will Ash take from his battles with both Lucian and Gardenia? Who will be his next challenging opponent? And which new capture will fill the vacant slot on his team? Find out as the journey continues.